The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome to the Daily Racing Podcast here at William Hill. And today we're going to be looking ahead to Champions Day at Ascot, all in the company with me, Bobby Beavers, alongside Craig Forsyth. Craig, this is becoming a habit, me and you teaming up together on the podcast.
Yeah, Bobby, it's an absolute pleasure to be here with you again. You know, great days racing, but the only problem is, Bobby, I've previewed some races at Market Racing. You've given me a curveball there. Throwing Ascot on me. I thought it was Market Racing.
Was it? Well, if we've got time, we could come back to Market Racing. I know you're winding me up here. I know you've really looked at Ascot. We could talk about Market Racing if you want. We'll start with the first race. I could see the horror on your face there. Cracking Days Racing at Ascot. And we're going to go through the card as well. Now, we're going to start first. We're not going to do it in the order of the card. We're going to do it in this order. So we'll start first with the sprint, Craig. I know you wanted to start with the sprint. At the time of recording, the Tin Man, who won this race 2 years ago, is your 11-4 market leader here with us at William Hill. Labrizabreeze, that won the race 12 months ago, is at 9-2. Harry Angel, 6-1. Brando, 8-1. Tasleet at 9s. 14-1 for Lamato. 16-1 Sir Dancelot. 16-1 also for Son of Rest. Sands of Marley, 18s. 20 for Projection. 25-1 bar. Now, just off air, you made a good point that no horse has ever won the Champion Sprint for a second consecutive year. So does that mean we're ruling out Labrizabreeze straight away?
No, certainly not, Bobby, because the style he won last year, you've got to consider him. But you've got to also bear in mind what kind of form he was in coming into the Ascot race last year. You know, he was a horse that was knocking on the door, travelling well in his races, and usually just finding one too good. This time around, he hasn't been anywhere near the same level. He's been disappointing for the majority of the year. So, you know, he's a six-year-old now. Is he at the same level as he was 12 months ago is the big question. And on recent evidence, and we haven't seen him for 63 days, the answer to that would be no, but still very fresh in the mind is his very impressive performance in this time last year. The straight track at Ascot usually brings out the best in him, and when he gets a good pace to aim at on softish ground, he usually produces his best. And, you know, you've got the likes of Harry Angel, who set the pace last year, in here again, so they're going to go quick despite the conditions, which, you know, are forecast to be on the soft side. But when you look back to 12 months ago, you know, to the race, Harry Angel set a really strong early tempo. Tasleet was the first really to emerge from the pack and chase down Harry Angel. Got there, but unfortunately he got picked off in the closing stages by Labrizabreeze, who, you know, Robert Winson held on to as long as possible because he's only got the one run. You've got to deliver him as late as you can, and he did it to perfection last year. But if they had held on to Tasleet just that little bit longer, you know, I think he would have gone very, very close to winning. Jim Crowley knows the horse well. He's got his conditions again. He's a fresh horse because we haven't seen him much this year. We've only seen him twice. We've seen him at the Curragh back in May, and then he looked like he had an absolute prep run for this at Haydock. He travelled really well, as he normally does in the Haydock race, and he was squeezed out of contention in that by Sands of Marley and Brando, I think it was. Squeezed them out. Jim Crowley's had to take a pull, and knowing that, you know, it looked like a race to put him spot on for Ascot, he wasn't too hard on him from there to the line. And he caught the eye. You know, that was a solid comeback effort after being off since May. He's got the blinkers on for the first time. He loved the conditions. You know, he's one thing about him for a sprinter, he travels on the bridle, this horse, Tasley, and I think he can go one better than he did 12 months ago, Bobby. So, yeah, I'd be, you know, 9-1 each way.
Mm-hmm.
He's the solid option in the race for me. I think he's a good value price.
Tasley each way for the sprint then for Craig. If we have a look at the QE2, which is an absolute cracking renewal, you'll have to say. This is the betting with us here at William Hill. Roaring Lion, as it was announced this week, he's going to take his chance in the QE2. He's your 2-1 market leader with us here at William Hill. Recoletus is your 5-1 second favourite. Lord Glitters won the Balmoral 12 months ago here on this card. He's in there at 11-2. Lawrence, of course, what a fantastic season she's having for Colbert. Great to see PJ McDonald return back to the saddle as well. She's in the market with us here at 6-1. Ajayib, I think, is the each-way bet of this race for William Haggis and James Doyle. Happily is at 12-1, and it's 14-1 bar. Right then, first thing we need to say, this week, the news broke, Roaring Lion will run in the QE2 tomorrow.
Yes, obviously, I think John Gosden's very keen to keep his two-star horses apart, really. You know, Cracksman obviously has been showing them very positive signs at home ahead of his bid to win the Champion Stakes again, and obviously Roaring Lion dropping back to the mile. Now, in terms of, you know, the drop back in distance, the way he's gone through his races this year, Bobby, you know, he's shown plenty of speed, he has. And visually, he looks like he could well cope with the drop back to the mile. But at the same time, if you look at the way he's impressed and lengthened in the final furlong of his races, 10 furlongs looks to be his absolute optimum conditions. Yep. And, you know,
Eclipse, Judmont.
I just think that is his trip nowadays.
Yeah.
You know, this will be a different ball game for him, going that extra half yard quicker over this distance. And I thought he was vulnerable, to be honest, at 2-1. I did. I thought he was vulnerable here as he drops back to the mile. With the offer we've got, with the form in the book, I thought Recoletos is an absolute knocking each way bet here at 5-1. Two previous runs at Ascot ran an absolute cracker in the Champion Stakes last year. You look at that run back, and you know they didn't go a mad early gallop, and he was slightly keen in the early stages of the race. And he's eventually just dropped off. I don't think, you know, 10 furlongs on soft ground is exactly what he wanted. He, you know, probably just found that stretch in his stamina. But he's finished alongside Highland Reel and Portsword. You know, it wasn't bad. Cracksman's obviously demolished them, won him by 7 lengths. But he ran a good race. He's been back to Ascot this year. He ran in the Queen Anne in June. I don't know if you remember, but he boiled over before the start of that race. He played up in the paddock and he boiled over. He was also drawn in stall one. On the wing, far side, got shuffled into a very bad position, hampered in the race, wasn't knocked about, came home under a hands and heels ride, and finished mid-division, finished seventh, shaping much better than the bare result. I think a strong pace at a mile is exactly what this horse wants. He got that at Longchamp last time. They went a real strong gallop in that race, and he's only won by a head from Wind Chimes, but he pricked his ears, and he'd won with a fair bit in hand. There was a lot left in the locker. You know, he come off a real strong early fractions, and he really enjoyed that type of test. I think he'll get a similar test here. Ground in his favour, strongly run mile. I just cannot have him out the frame at 5-1.
What about Lawrence? Because, you know, she's been absolutely sensational as a 2-year-old and also as a 3-year-old as well. When I interviewed PJ McDonald ahead of her run in the 1,000 guineas, you know what he said to me? He says, "Bobby, whatever beats my filly wins the guineas." And that's exactly what happened in the guineas at Newmarket. So I think it's she's 6-1 here with us at William Hill. She's another one you've got to take very, very seriously. And I wouldn't rule out a Ajayib either for William Haggis to run into a place.
Yeah, he's an improver, isn't he? Ajayib's pivotal gelding, so he's going to enjoy the ground. As we've seen this year from him, obviously, he was a very impressive winner of the Lincoln, followed up in the mile at Sandown. You know, but
he's ground dependent, so he's got his ground.
Yeah, he has, but you know, why haven't we seen him since the lock-in? Is it been purely down to the ground that he's missed the majority of the summer?
When I spoke to James when he won the Lincoln, he said he would have a slight concern with him running on like quicker ground because it was soft ground that day for the Lincoln. So he said he thinks the ground needs to be soft and good to soft, which is obviously what he's won on previously in the past. So I don't know why he's had the time off. I genuinely don't know why we've not seen him since the Lockinge. But I think he's very ground dependent, and I think he's got his ground. He's going there relatively fresh, and I think it's a bit of a price. 13-2 with us here at William Hill. He has had a bit of support as well. Had been as big as eights into 13-2. Do I think he's good enough to win? No. Do I think he can run to a place at a bit of a price? Yes.
Yeah, I can see that for sure, Bobby. But obviously, I think the plan was to run him in the Irish Champion Stakes and have a prep run there. Obviously, he was pulled out of that because, as you said, it was good to firm ground and it was much too quick for him. So they've had to come straight here, basically, haven't been off since May, and taking on Racefoot rivals. But not only Racefoot rivals. Racefoot rivals that are coming here on the back of Group 1 successes. Lawrence, you know, she's won 5 Group 1s. You know, she comes here in terrific form, just idled a little bit in front. Recoletos won a Group 1 in Longchamp last time. And Roaring Lion, 3 Group 1s in his last 3 races. That's a huge task, Bobby. A huge task for a horse coming off a layoff. So I would prefer to have Race Fitness on my side. Like I said, the 4-year-old Recoletos each way 5-1 would be a decent bet for me.
3:50 on Saturday afternoon is the Champion Stakes, and it's the return of Cracksman as well. At the time of recording, currently 4-5 with us here at William Hill. 5-2 second favourite is Crystal Ocean. Capri at 6-1. Monarchs Glen at 12s. It's then 16-1 bar. Right then, Cracksman has got his ground. Will he win the Champion Stakes on Saturday?
I think he will, Bobby. I do think he will. Just before we came on to record this podcast, you know, I like to have a rerun of last year's events. You know, the first thing I did was to look back and go through all the races from 12 months ago. And in a way, you almost forget how impressive he was last year, beating subsequent Group 1 horses. And not only beating them, you know, 7-8 lengths clear, hard on the bridle. Now, you know, things probably haven't gone to plan for him this time around. He made hard work of his victory in the Coronation Stakes at Epsom. John Gosden at the time put that down to the track. Maybe, you know, having trouble coming down the hill. He eventually got on top when he hit the rising ground. And, you know, moving to Ascot, everybody thought he was a good thing in the Prince of Wales Stakes. But Port Word was a formidable opponent.
Yep.
And he struggled to reel him in. But, you know, he's coming back here to a track he absolutely excels on. A track that he posted an outstanding career best at 12 months ago. They've gone for the blinkers. You know, he's 122 days off. But I think he'll win. And, you know, looking how impressive he was, like I said, in last year's race, I think this is a slightly weaker renewal. And I think he takes all the beating and can record back-to-back victories in the race.
Yeah, I very much agree with you there. 2:40, just going back through the car. The 2:40 is the Group 1 Fillies and Mares race. Larty Dar at the time of a recording, 5-4 with us here at William Hill. A cracking second behind Kew Gardens when last seen in the William Hill St. Ledger. Back down in trip for her today. I can't see past her myself.
No, just the only slight negative is the step back in trip. You know, she was doing a lot of good late work in the ledger behind Kew Gardens. She's, you know, an exciting prospect, lightly raced, and, you know, I think 5-4 is a fair price, if I'm being honest. I thought the danger, Bobby, was the Roger Varian horse. Wasn't given the best of rides at Doncaster last time, Pallister. Came from a long way back. Had looked very progressive prior to that, winning a Group 2 at Goodwood. 10-1, I thought there was maybe a little bit of each way value there, but Larty Dar, difficult to beat.
Yep, very much agree with your words there. And then the first race on the card, we've done this in a completely different race card order here, haven't we?
We've done, Bobby, is we've given our strongest bets
at the start, yeah.
Which, you know, hopefully will be people will appreciate that rather than, you know, just skimming over the edges on the races where I've got less of an opinion.
And Stradivarius currently 5-6 with us at the time of recording for the Long Distance Cup. Absolutely phenomenal this year. Is, of course, undefeated this season. Is he going to be 5-5?
I think he will, Bobby. When you look back to last year's race where he finished third to Order of St. George, and you look back at the record of three-year-olds in this particular race, you can see how big a challenge he faced last year. It's been a difficult race for three-year-olds, just the one winner so far. He's a much stronger, he's a much better horse this time around. For a steer, his speed was just blunted in the ground last year. That would be the only concern. That's the only time he's met really soft conditions in his career. But he plugged on all the way to the line. You know, they went a good strong gallop in the race, and Order of St. George was just a little bit too strong for him at the finish. I think he takes all the beating. I think, yeah, he's you know, I think he'll cope with conditions much better being a year older. And I think, you know, he's a worthy, worthy favourite.
They do say save the best till last, and I've got two things to inform the listeners now. I'll start with the first. The first thing is that if you have Stradivarius, Lartidar, Roaring Lion and Cracksman, that will pay just over 21-1 for the four-timer. Stradivarius, Lartidar, Roaring Lion and Cracksman, just to confirm, just over 21-1 for that four-timer. And check this one out as well, Craig. Are you ready for this? In the QE2, right here at William Hill, we are paying not first three, not first four, five places on the queue in two. How fantastic is that?
It's a tremendous offer, Bobby, obviously. You know, with the shape to the race as well, you know, absolutely fantastic. You must take advantage of that, and you must bet Recoletos each way at 5-1. That's the advice, Bobby.
Five places right here with William Hill for this year's QE2. Craig, just before we go, just confirm your two main selections again for me, please.
In the sprint at 2 o'clock, Taz Elite each way to go one better than he did in the race last year. And Recoletos in the QE2, five places each way, 5-1. Fill your boots with an each way bet.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.